Morning. Back when I was 16 years old, I talked my mom into co-signing a loan for me to buy my first motorcycle. Somehow, my mom forgot to mention that fact to my dad. And to put it mildly, he wasn't really happy with her for quite some time. Now, I'll just admit to you right here and now that I thought I was the baddest dude on the planet every time I jumped on that bike and went riding through town. I had on my helmet with flames on it, my long blonde hair waving in the wind under that helmet, a big knife hanging on my belt, and a Harley Davidson wallet with a big chain attached to it in my pocket. I'd crank up that 250cc Honda motorcycle, go riding through town, and whenever I came across anyone on the road with a motorcycle that wasn't as good as mine or as new as mine, I'd just give them a look, letting them know I pity them for being on such an inferior motorcycle. I started a new job around that time, and found a guy at work who wore a Harley Davidson t-shirt to work every day, as well as the other paraphernalia. But one day, when I went out on the parking lot to start up my 250cc motorcycle, I noticed that he didn't have a Harley at all. He had a little 125cc Suzuki. I showed up at work a couple of days later with a t-shirt on that said this. It said, "I own a 250cc Honda, not just a t-shirt." I'm telling you, I thought that owning that motorcycle gave me bragging rights to be the pretty bad dude in the city. Now, I purposely embarrassed myself in front of you with this true story to make a point. The point is that I had nothing to brag about at all. Anyone can go out and buy a 250cc motorcycle if they have enough money. It doesn't take any act of bravery, any great intelligence, nor act of physical strength. It simply took a desire and my mom that was willing to sign the loan papers. Now, grace works very much like that. I can't come to you and brag about the gift of grace in the sense that I have not earned it. I did not earn the grace that God gave me. Amen. Or that I made some type of physical accomplishment. The only way that I can boast about grace is by boasting about the God that has given me that gift of grace. Yes. It is only God that provides that grace. Yes. It is only God that gives us that grace to be saved. It is only God that gives us that grace that we have that we can brag about. Instead of pointing to myself when I talk about grace, all that I can do is brag on God for what He has done for me. That's exactly how Paul ends this epistle to the Galatians, by boasting about what Jesus did for us on the cross so that we could receive God's gift of grace. Open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 6. We'll finish up our series, Growing in Grace, with our last message, Boasting in Grace, by reading verses 11 through 18. If you'll stand with me, the Bible says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that you may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble you, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and bring your word. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would see and help us all to see that we can boast about one thing, and that is the grace that you've given us by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Help us to see that today as we go through this message, as Paul boasted about the cross of Christ and how he boasted about having those marks of the cross upon his own body. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the ones that came out this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for those that could not make it for any reason at all. And we pray for them this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at three ways the cross of Jesus will benefit our lives, giving us reason to brag on God. Number one, the cross grants me a change in status. Concerning the legalists in Galatia, Paul stated in verse 12, as many as desire to make fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. We focused enough on the legalists and their errors. I want us to focus now specifically on the statement the cross of Christ alone can save. Do you remember the old hymn, Nothing But the Blood? The old hymn went something like this: what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Notice that hymn. The ending of every sentence was nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we can brag about today. We can brag about that Jesus went to the cross. He died on that cross so that he might shed his blood to save every one of us. We have that to brag about today. We can brag about the fact that he cared enough about us, even though we were not born into this world at that time. He cared enough about us that he would go to the cross and see all of those people that would be born in the future and know that they would come to Jesus for salvation, that they would come to him, they would bow their knee to him, and they would confess their sins, and they would get their heart cleansed by that precious blood of Jesus. We can brag about that today, and that's what we need to do. What was this song, Wash My Sins Away, and Nothing But the Blood of Jesus? What was that song all about? It was about bragging on God's grace made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was about the change in my status from a sinner to a saint, from a lost to found, from self-centered to God-centered, from distant and destined for hell to heading for heaven. We need to shout it from the rooftops and at our political rallies and in the marketplace, in our homes. The cross of Christ alone can save. We need to shout it to everyone we meet. We need to shout it in the marketplace, all over town, that nothing but the cross of Christ can save our sin. Save us from hell. Save us from the condemnation that is going to fall on all of those who have not accepted Jesus. Listen, my friend, we are boasting not because of any accomplishment we have made, but of what God has accomplished on our behalf through the death of His Son. Colossians 1, 21 and 22 says this, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath been reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Notice that because of the cross, you only and only because of the cross, how can we now stand in the presence of God according to this verse? Holy, blameless, and without a single fault. Without a single fault in our life. How can we do that? How can we stand before the very throne of God and say, "I'm not guilty. I've been redeemed. I have the grace of God applied to my life through my confession of sin to Jesus Christ." I can boast that. I can give my life to Christ and be wholly blameless without a single fault. Colossians 2, 13 and 14 says this, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." This is a before and after picture of our lives before and after we accepted the gift of God's grace through the cross. Before we stood before God with all the guilt of our sin, with all the shame of the sin we have committed, with all the faults in our life. But when Jesus came into our life, after we be made alive, all of our sins are removed, and there is no record of our sins to remind God of our sinful past. What did God do with them? He destroyed them by nailing them to the cross of Christ. The Bible says God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. How far does that? How far does that stretch? Nobody knows. Nobody knows how far the east is from the west. Nobody knows how far the north is from the south. It's a measurement that we cannot measure. We only see so far. We can't see the furthest distance that the east spans. We can't see the distance that the west spans. But God can. Amen. And God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And the Bible says, and He remembers them no more. Amen. God Himself has removed our sins by the cross of the Christ. In this act, and in our acceptance of this act on our behalf, our status has changed totally and completely and eternally. That should make us shout, "Praise the Lord for what He's done for me." Amen. Praise God that He gave me an opportunity to accept Jesus. Listen, we all have that opportunity. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Amen. Not just a few men. If you want to look that up, that's in Titus chapter 2. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. The grace of God, the Holy Spirit, has appeared unto all men. So what is the problem? All men have not accepted Him. All men have not given their heart to Him. But those of us that have something to brag about. We can brag that Jesus gave us an opportunity. He came into our life through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He cared enough about us as individuals to touch our hearts with the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sins and show us we needed to be saved. We can brag about that. We should praise God. We should praise Him for what He has done to us. Listen, my friend, we boast in the cross of Christ today, and we praise God for our change in status. Secondly, the second thing we can brag about is the cross grants me change in demeanor. Listen, on January 13th, 1997, reports Richard Conniff, in the Natural Geographic, adventurer Steve Fawcett climbed into the cockpit of a hot air balloon in St. Louis, Missouri. He rose into the sky with an ambient of being the first to circle the globe in a balloon. After 3 days, he had crossed the Atlantic and was flying at 24,500 feet eastward over Africa. The prevailing wind carried him on a direct course for the country of Libya, and that, my friend, was a problem. Libya had refused him permission to fly into their airspace, which meant he could be shot down. Of course, hot air balloons cannot turn on a whim. They cannot turn like a jet plane can. So this man was in trouble. When a change of direction is called for, what they must do is change altitude. At a higher or lower altitude, a balloonist can usually find a crosswind blowing in a different direction. Fawcett vented helium, and the balloon dropped 6,300 feet, where it came under the control of a wind blowing southeast. Fawcett skirted safely south of Libya, then heated the balloon, rose almost 10,000 feet, and caught an easterly wind which carried him back on course. Thanks to his knowledge, he did not come over Libya and got shot down. Thanks to the knowledge God had gave him, he went lower, caught an easterly wind, and it caused him to go just south of Libya. Listen, my friend, God was in control of this air balloon. Listen, although Fawcett only got as far as India, he set dual records for the longest distance, 10,360 miles, and duration 6 days in the air, 2 hours, 44 minutes in balloon flight. A person changes their altitude by changing their altitude. They change their attitude completely. Before we understand grace, we had an attitude that somehow we could make ourselves acceptable to God by our own good works and our appropriate lifestyles. Listen, there's people everywhere today that think they can get to heaven by their good works. They can get to pleasing to God by the money they give. They get to the point they think they can get to heaven all on their own by doing good works. But that is not the case at all. Listen, my friend, we change our attitude when our altitude changes. One of pride, one of arrogance, one of looking down upon others that we don't think have made it as far as we have. But when we understand grace, when we comprehend that Jesus did it all, we have a sudden dramatic change in our demeanor. We now know that there's nothing that we can brag about in our own flesh. Look in verse 14 of Galatians 6. Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." It is really quite ridiculous to boast in any other way. Let's picture that person with a legalist attitude standing next to Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He or she sees Jesus dying on the cross in his intense suffering and pain and says, "Well, you can see that Jesus is giving his life for the world, but look at what I've accomplished in addition to that." The legalist thinks he's got to add to grace. The legalist thinks he's got to add to something that Jesus did on the cross. But my friend, we as Christians know there's nothing to add to that grace. It is all about Jesus. It is all about what he could do. Listen, the person who understands grace looks at Jesus hanging on the cross and says this: "How could I possibly add to what he has already done for me?" There's a vast difference in demeanor here. One stubbornly insists on self-righteousness. The other one is adamant that true righteousness can only be found in the cross of Calvary. True grace can only be found by giving your heart to Jesus. True grace can only be found by shedding this old man and letting God come into your heart. Listen, my friend, God wants all of us to understand that we have a right to boast about the grace that God has given us. We have a right to boast that God has placed us in a position that we are children of God. There's a vast difference in our life. There's a vast difference in our demeanor. The third thing we need to realize: the cross grants me a change in worldview. It is amazing how life circumstances can cause us to reevaluate what is really important in our lives. The families of those killed in the 9/11 attack certainly viewed things differently than they did the year before it happened. Sometimes tragedy helps us put things in perspective. The same thing can happen when we discover some truth that we have not known before and accepted it into our lives. I know that for some of you, this series has been very challenging. You may have been trapped in a legalist worldview, and now this idea of grace has been somewhat threatening for you. This is a whole new way of looking at and understanding your relationship with God, and that can be a little bit unsettling. But the more that you study and the more that you realize that this is indeed God's way of working on your behalf, you begin to look at the world around you in a new way. Look in verses 14 through 18. Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble you, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Listen, when we fully comprehend this message of grace, the world around us begins to appear different. In fact, our focus on the world is completely changed as we begin to view things through the lens of God's grace. We now know that what really counts in this life that is being granted to us through the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gives one last proof to the Galatians and to us to demonstrate that he knows what he's talking about. He says this, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Paul was a man that devoted his life to God. Once he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, once that light shined down upon him, and he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" His life completely changed. Paul got a whole new perspective. Before, he was a persecutor of Christians. He was out there putting Christians in jail. He was out there doing what he thought to be correct. He was out there serving the Roman government, putting people in jail for being Christians, arresting them for being Christians, putting them in stocks and chains. But Paul's perspective, Paul's demeanor, Paul's attitude completely changed when he met Jesus. He became a servant of the Most High God. He became one that would do all he could to win every Jew and every Gentile to the Savior. He became one that knew that Christ had died for him, that Christ was the only way to heaven. He knew because Christ had pointed out to him that he was mistaken, that he was wrong, persecuting Christians. He realized that there needed to be a change in his life, and that change could only be realized through his relationship with Jesus. Amen. Listen, my friend, listen very carefully. When we comprehend the message of grace, the world around us completely changes. When a slave who had run from his master was returned, he would receive a brand. Listen, the word translated marks in this verse is the Greek word stigmata. The word used in several different ways during Paul's time. Listen, what I said earlier, when a slave who had run from his master was returned, he would receive a brand or a stigmata on his forehead. Some soldiers would have the names of their commander tattooed on the foreheads, and they were said to have received the stigmata also. Another way this word was used was to describe the devotees to pagan goddesses who would have their name branded on their foreheads. The Galatians were well aware of how this word was used in their culture. So Paul tells them very clearly, "I bear the stigmata of the Lord Jesus Christ," or "I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ on my body." What was Paul saying? He said, "I've been whipped for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've had my life threatened for serving Jesus Christ. He said, I bury my body, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend, this is something we need to understand. In effect, what Paul is telling them was this. If you know, if you want to know if what I've said in this letter is true, in the whole book of Galatians, look at the stigmata upon my body, the wounds that I've suffered so that I could tell you and the whole world about the grace of Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is what we need to be doing. We need to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. We need to tell him about the grace that he has given us. We need to tell them about Jesus, Savior of the world, the only one that can save us from our sins, the only one that had the blood that was pure enough to pour out on the cross, that poured out on the ground to save us from our sins. That he shed his blood was an important fact that we look at the cross today. We look at the cross today and we see a Savior hanging on the cross, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. We look there and see with the crown of thorns upon his head. We look there and see Christ hanging there and that blood that flowed from his body. Listen, my friend, Christ went to the cross for you and I. He went to the cross for the whole world. He went to the cross so that we might be free from the sin and the stigma of being a lost person. He went there so that we could have eternal life. He went there so that we could have a relationship with God, which was broken back in the book of Genesis. Do you realize that our fellowship, our communion with God was broken all the way back there when they disobeyed him? It was broken. And they, because they had sinned against God, they turned their back on God and sinned against him and followed Satan. Listen, my friend, Jesus bridged that gap that was left there by Satan and Adam and Eve. He bridged that gap with his blood. He bridged that gap between us and a holy God. He bridged that gap so that we could come into the very presence of God and pray. He bridged that gap so we could come into the very presence of God and bring all of our prayers and bring all of our wants and bring all of our desires to a holy God. He bridged that gap so that one day we will spend eternity in heaven. Listen, my friend, Jesus did all of that. He has been branded with the message that he brings. And he appeals to us by virtue of the scars that have been laid on his body and as he has suffered for the cause. As we've walked with Paul over the last several weeks, it is really difficult not to change our view of the world in which we live and minister. The letter ends with the same theme that has been running throughout. Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's add our amens to Paul. Amen. God has saved us. Amen that Christ died on the cross for all of us. Amen that God has brought us in this place this morning to worship him, amen, to glorify him, to lift him up. Amen. Amen. God has brought us to this place this morning. And I want you to realize something. I want you to realize that what Paul has taught us through this whole book of Galatians is one central point. And I want to bring it out to you before we close this message. The law was not sufficient to save. The law was our schoolmaster. It taught us about sin. It revealed the sin in our lives. The law could not save us. The law had no power to save us. The law only could reveal our sin to us and draw us to the Master. Draw us to Jesus. That, my friend, is what Paul has been trying to tell us through this whole chapter. He's been trying to tell us that the legalist view of work salvation will not cut it. That giving for salvation will not cut it. That being a good person for salvation would not cut it. That only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, only through His sacrifice, only through His offering to God of His precious blood would be sufficient to save us from sin. Amen. To save us from condemnation. To save us and renew our fellowship with God and bring us back to a relationship with our Heavenly Father who cares for us, who deeply wanted Jesus to go to the cross so that His people, all people, could be drawn back to Him. Even though all people will not accept this message, even though all people will not accept what Christ has done, I hope the people in this audience this morning will understand that the law was not sufficient. Giving was not sufficient. Paying your tithes is not sufficient. Doing good works is not sufficient. Only giving your heart to Jesus can save your soul. Only giving your life to Him. Only coming and admitting your faults, admitting your failures, admitting your sin, and giving it all to Him, and saying, I accept You, Lord. I accept You as my Savior. I want You to come into my heart. I want You to make me new. I want You to make me a new creation in You. And I want You to change my life completely. That, my friend, is the message of Paul that he has been trying to get through to us in this whole chapter. That we as God's children need to understand that it's not about anything we can do. It's all about what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. 2,000 years ago, He went to the cross, paid our sin debt, and made us whole. Listen, my friend. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come this morning. Yeah. I invite you to come and accept Him. The only one that can save your soul and make you right with God is Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and bring Your Word. Father, we pray that this message has gotten through, that we can boast about what You have done. We can't boast about anything we've done, but about what You have done through the cross of Christ. As Paul said, I bear the marks of the body, of my body, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to realize that we as God's children bear the marks of a Christian in our bodies. The Holy Spirit has placed a mark upon our lives that is a mark of possession, a mark that can never be removed by Satan or any other thing, a mark that will eternally secure us. That mark is the possession, showing the possession of Jesus Christ in our lives. We thank You for that. We thank You for dying on the cross. And we thank You for giving us the opportunity to serve You in this life. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.
Amen.